As I woke up this morning in a kind of compulsory early rising due to the jet lag, I found that the Lord impressed me with a word that speaks about the significance of being in the hands of God. I think it would be great if we could all leave this conference with that impression in our hearts. We are His people and we are in His hands. So would you please look up in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 3. Deuteronomy 3 verse 3. Indeed, He loves His people, all Thy holy ones are in Thy hand, and they followed in Thy steps. Everyone receives of Thy words. All Thy holy ones are in Thy hand. I'm sure that in the time we are running into, as I said last night, a time of great tribulation and crisis, it is going to be the time where the glory of God will be revealed in a people who is quite different to the people of this world. Because it is in a time of crisis that God's glory is always revealed in His people. It's in a time of crisis that the world can see the difference between the church and themselves. So that will be a time where the glory of the Lord will be manifested on earth as never before. And I think it's important that God's people become a people that are learning to handle crisis in another way than the people of this world. We are called not to react to crisis with bitterness, but to respond with worship and thanksgiving. I remember one brother in Sweden a few years ago when the prices of fuel went up high. And he came to his hometown, and all people in that town were buying up every drop of oil they could get to make sure that they got it before the raise of prices. And he was sort of thinking about the same thing and was just about phoning the oil company. But then he said, I better ask the Lord about this. So he went to seek the Lord, and the Lord said to him, well, brother, you can do it if you like. There's nothing wrong in it. It's no sin. But mind you, if you start on this kind of thing, you could very well be caught up in a spirit of panic and speculation. So he said, thank you, Lord. And he refrained from doing anything. And what happened was that the neighbors came to him and said, what's the matter with you? Haven't you heard? We are going to have an immense increase in oil prices. Oh, yes, he said, I know. But I trust in God. And I trust that He will be able to provide the more money I need to buy the oil I need. That is the kind of people that God is looking after. Not a people wrapped in fear and panic, But a people that are convinced that we are in the hand of God and He is taking care of us. Well-known Bible teacher in Denmark experienced something fantastic during the Second World War. When the German bombers came over Copenhagen and dropped their bombs, he was employed in one of the ministries in the government. And as soon as they heard the alarm, all the people in the department ran down to the security room in the basement. But he remained in his chair with his desk and he went on with his ordinary work. And his chief went through the room and he stopped up and looked quite astonished and said, "Are you crazy? Haven't you heard the alarm? Aren't you coming with us?" "No," he said, "I'm not coming with you, because as long as God wants me to work and has put me in this place, I believe He will take care of me in such a way that I'm able to do my duty." Well, I don't think there's nothing wrong going to a security room, but I do feel that that's a point here. God wants to reveal another people in the end time of crisis, a people who is not panicked or full of fear, but a people who know we are in the hand of God, whatever happens in the future. I think we should look into this matter, what it is to be in the hand of God. Because it will be a time of tribulation and distress and anxiety. And the first wonderful thing about being in God's hand is that sense of security. And we need it. In Deuteronomy 33, in the chapter we read this morning, we have some other verses, 27 to 29. "The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Isn't that wonderful? Underneath are the everlasting arms. Here on earth is God's hands, well able to take care of us. "And He drove out the enemy from before you and said, 'Destroy.' So Israel dwells in security." Israel dwells in security. That is a great benefit of being a people that are in the hand of God. And surely Israel, the people, the literal people of God, are dwelling in security. It doesn't look like that. But they are in God's hand. And there's no place like being in God's hand. That is the place of security for all of His people. But we were reading here about some condition for experiencing the security in God's hand. In chapter 33, we'll look at that verse again. Verse 3. "All thy holy ones are in thy hand, and they followed in thy steps. Everyone receives of thy words." We have a beautiful translation in the Danish Bible where it says, They sit down at your feet and receive your word. All thy people is in your hand. They sit down at your feet and receive your word. That is the secret of experiencing being in God's hand, the sense of security, that we are in the right place. We sit down at His feet and receive His word. In these days we are living in, and much more in the time to come, we need to hear from the Lord every day before we hear anything else. Otherwise, we won't be walking in that sense of security. His word must come to our hearts before we get the news, so that we can walk in that wonderful sense of security when all the bad news are coming and being impressed upon us. One of my good friends in Sweden used to say, we will see in the times to come that all the news media, the television and radio and newspapers, in an increasing measure are being used by the enemy to try to impose fear and panic and depression upon us. It's almost only bad news, all news these days. And he suggested something that I thought was really wonderful. In old days when they ended up the television program or the radio program that used to play the national hymn, in Denmark at least. But he said, let us, when we have watched the television or heard the radio or listened to the radio or have been reading a paper, let us end up saying, yes, but everything is in the hand of the Lord. Because it is. Not only His people is in His hand, but the whole world is in His hand. So I think we should make it a habit, really, to end up saying, yes, but the Lord is in charge. He has got everything under control. And by the way, when you are passing on news, bad news, don't forget to end up in the same way saying, yes, but remember, the Lord is upon the throne. He has all the power in heaven and upon earth, so that we can really become a different people and not react in panic and fear, but respond in worship. Because it's going to be a great time where the Lord will glorify His name as never before in all history, by raising up a people and showing that people to be very much different than the people of this world. Oh, this security in the hands of God, how wonderful it is. But if we are filled with anxiety and worries and fear, it could be the reason that we are not obeying this little word. They are sitting down at your feet and receiving your word. Because we must not only know as an objective fact that we are in God's hand, but we need to have that sense within us to experience that glorious fact. And in order to do that, we must be a people who listen to the voice of God before any other voice, and are a people sitting down and listening to His word. If that has been necessary ever, it will be all the more necessary in the days we are running into in the future. Mary and Martha has, of course, illustrated that point overwhelmingly. Mary had come into the right position, the right place, where she could sense that security, that calmness, that peace, while she sat down and listened to his word. Martha was filled with anxiety and worries and criticism and bitterness. It ended up with bitterness because she didn't know how to come into the right position where she could also have had that wonderful sense of being in the hand of God, being secure under all circumstances and in all situations. In a way, Martha had the whole thing in her own hand. And that's always the reason why anxiety and worries are filling our lives and we get depressed. We take the matters in our own hand, the situation, and we are getting tensed. And we are thinking we better keep on now and keep firm. But oh, that we would let go everything from our own hands and realize that we and the whole situation are in God's hand. Do you know what Martin Luther said once? He said, "I have had many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But I never lost one thing that I put into the hand of God." Hallelujah. We are bound to lose anything we try to keep in our hands. We must learn this precious lesson of handing it over into the hand of God. Those who hear his voice or are following him, that are in close fellowship with him, those are the ones who would really experience the security, the sense of security in times of great distress and darkness. In John 10, of course, we have this marvelous word of the Lord Jesus himself. John 10:27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." No one shall snatch them out of my hand. But it is to those who hear his voice, are following in his steps, that this conviction, this sense of security, "no one shall snatch them out of my hand." Praise the Lord. We are in his hand. So the first benefit is security. But the other benefit of it is that being in God's hand means that we will experience discipline or dealings. God's hands are very active hands, working hands. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, this is a word you are very familiar to, I should think. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There's another translation saying, we are the handiwork, or the work of his hands. The other day I was reading in Time magazine, and I saw an announcement for a watch. It looked very ordinary. It looked old-fashioned, this watch. But what I was surprised to find was the price. It cost $6,000, and it looked just as an old piece of work, nothing advanced in technology as this one here, who can do everything you want to in the morning. Everything. Watch alarm, stopwatch, timer. Just an ordinary old watch as the one I had when I was a schoolboy. $6,000. So I got interested and began to read about this watch. And I found out the reason was that every tiny bit was made by hand. Things made by hands are precious these days, where we get such a lot of mass products, which in one way is a great benefit because it keeps the price down. But oh, to have something in your hand which has been made all by hands. That's very seldom these days. We are the works of his hand. That's why we are so precious, priceless. The price was so high, it cost him his own dear son's life to buy us and to mold us and to be able to work us into that divine design that he, from before the world, the foundation of the world was laid, decided that we should become. God is working with his hands upon our lives, upon the life of his people. And this is what we will find here in Ephesians 2, 10, where his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And these good works are circumstances that God has prearranged. Crisis also that God has prearranged to complete his work on us and with us. The Amplified New Testament expands it a little, saying we are taking path which he prepared ahead of time. We are walking in path that he prepared ahead of time. God has prearranged all the circumstances for his people who are in his hand. So what we are going to meet in the future is not an accident. It's God's hands working upon our lives. Acts 4:27 will point that out to us. Acts 4:27. For truly in this city they were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. Have you seen that? Well, it was an awful crisis, we saw it last night, that occurred to God's people. But how are they describing those circumstances and that crisis to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur? In other words, those circumstances, that crisis, was the hand of God working, shaping them into the divine purpose, the divine design. There is a word in Proverbs 21 that I used to have difficulties to understand. Proverbs 21, the first verse. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. The king's heart is channels of water in the hand of the Lord. The Danish Bible says the Lord is changing the heart of the king like he changes channels of water and turns them wherever he wishes. How would you change a channel of water? How would you manage to get a water stream to change its direction and go in another direction? Well, it's very easy. You just have to dig down a new set of circumstances in the ground, a new channel, and the water will go that way. When God is changing the heart of a king, he puts up some circumstances that will lead the king in that direction he wants him to go. That is the work of his hand. By his hand he is directing or changing the hearts of the king. So we should be thankful, and we should not react in bitterness, but respond in joy and with thanksgiving to whatever circumstances the Lord will put up in the time ahead of us. And what a hand God has. It's not an ordinary hand. It's a hand that can be hard, but it's never too hard, because it is a hand that is marked in such a way that it cannot be too hard. If you look in Isaiah 49 and verse 16, this is a beautiful scripture, one of my favorites, I must say. Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Well, the Hebrew word for inscribe means engrave, using a sharp instrument. And of course, it speaks about the nails that pierced the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was crucified. That was the event where God inscribed our names in his hands. I can illustrate this point. I once met a brother, a big brother, that had a very hard hand, so when you shook hands with him, my word, for hours you could feel. Try to avoid reading that brother, and we tried to wave to him in distance. But something happened. Some day he cut his hand with a knife while he was working. And he came up with that hand wrapped in a bandage. And I went to him and I shook hands with him. It was a quite new experience. He couldn't be hurt, you know, because he felt the pain. In the same minute he was too hard, he felt the pain in his hand. You know, if you're hurting your hand or your husband, it would be difficult to discipline your children. It will be difficult to be too hard, because you will always be remembering something, reminded of the pain. And when the Lord says, I've inscribed you, engraved you in my hand, and these are the hands who are around our lives and working upon us, He has a mild, affectionate hand, never too hard. It's a firm hand, but it's not too hard, because he's always, for eternity, he is reminded of the pain, of how much he suffered in his love to buy us and redeem us and make us his people. Oh, these loving hands of the Lord. It says here, I have always, continually, your walls before me. And the walls are the last part of the city. It speaks about that the Lord has always the completion of that heavenly design before his eyes. That's why he has to work on our lives. And we need, as I said last night, we need crisis, because God wants to get his work completed and at last see the walls and the whole city, the whole body of Christ, the whole church completed in him, the work finished. I have your walls before me. Thank God for being in his hands in the future time to come. I know that I've been told that when the potter is working on the clay, usually he used the right hand to mold the clay into a certain shape. And he has to use that right hand with a certain amount of strength. He has to be a bit hard to get that clay shaped into the right design. But at the same time, he takes his left hand sometimes and put it within the vessel, because he's afraid that maybe that right hand would be too hard and break the vessel. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God's hands working upon our lives? We can feel it's hard, but then there is the other hand from the inside. When this hand from the outside, circumstances, hardships, crises, then there is this wonderful left hand from the inside strengthening us, encouraging us, and making sure that we will not break. We will not go to pieces. God will never allow his people to become a failure. It's impossible. He could not. To inscribe us in the palms of his hand through that much suffering of his beloved son. He could not pay that high price, and then it would end up a failure. That's impossible. May we really thank the Lord and respond with joy and thanksgiving, even worship. When the Lord is dealing with us, like Jacob did, he bowed down on the top of his stuff. Worship God for that severe crisis. Why did he worship? Because that crisis broke him in such a way that from that hour he became fruitful. Until that hour he had been going his own way. He was still a child of God, but he was of no use. The design of God could not be seen. There was no glory of God in the life of Jacob until that hour at Peniel, when he experienced the big crisis that left him ever since a handicapped, a broken man. And then the glory of God from that hour came out in a beautiful testimony. Well, I believe with all my heart that God is preparing a people of glory in the last times. Not a failure. Not a people of defeat. Not a people of fear. A people that is the first people to panic and try to secure our own lives by running into the security room. But a people of glory. A people who are convinced we are in His hands. And this will be a great time where the glory of God will be seen through His people as never before. So may we, as we read in 1 Peter 5:6, where we can find the true attitude that should be in our lives in the time that we are now running into. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. I once met a brother who were going through a tremendous hard time. He lost one of his family members by a terrible accident. And he lost his job also. And he fell sick at the same time. Everything seemed to collapse in his life and his family. And he became bitter. He stayed away from the church meetings. And I went to see him. And he was walking from one wall to another and trying to resist the devil and trying to get out of this terrible mess that he was in. And while I was there, the Lord quickened the word in my heart. I said to him, "What are you doing?" "Well, can't you see it? Don't you know what I've been through? I'm trying to get out of this mess." "Well, does it work?" I asked. "No," he said. "Well, then sit down and let us talk to one another. I've got a word from the Lord to you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in His proper time. Cast upon Him your anxiety." And to make it very practically, I said to the brother, "Kneel down here with me and begin to thank God for the terrible things that you've been through." Well, he said, "Well, I couldn't do that. How can I thank God for such an accident that took away a dear member of my family? How can I thank God for losing my job? How can I thank God in this situation feeling sick? Well, I said, aren't you a child of His? Yes, he said, I'm His. But don't you know that he is in control? He is Lord of all. Whatever you have been through, He is the Lord. And He has control of everything. And some way or another, we don't know, He must have allowed these things to come in to your life with some purpose. He looked at me and we sat down for 20 minutes without saying something. But at the end, he said, yes. Yes, I will do it. He knelt down at the table. I shall never forget it. And he opened his mouth and he began to glorify the Lord and thank Him. And from that moment he was free. The devil was gone, far gone. I had the feeling the devil ran out of the room immediately. So often we struggle with the enemy, against the enemy. We battle and struggle with our circumstances, and true, the enemy can be in them. And we are to resist the devil, but that's the second point in this teaching about overcoming. The first point is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and accept His discipline and whatever He is going to do in your life, and then resist the devil. Not to get rid of your sufferings. That's not the message in 1 Peter 5, as far as I can see. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Well, there will be no completion and no glory, eternal glory in Christ, without that little time of suffering. And the message in 1 Peter 5 concerning resisting the devil is not to get rid of our difficulties, but is to not lose our faith while we are going through. Not losing our heart, but keeping the faith and being able to glorify the name of the Lord. Because sufferings are part of our calling, as with all our brethren in the whole world. Oh, the blessings of crisis. That will lead us into the eternal glory of Christ. So may we really respond in love and in thanksgiving, and not react in bitterness or panic or despair. We are His people. We are in His hand. We are in the most secure dwelling place, and He is working to complete the building, the city of God, until the walls are finished. And the testimony of God that will come forth in these last days of great crisis and darkness and enemy activity will more than ever in the history bring glory to Him. Praise His name. Amen.